Brahma, but they can do them if they want. Women are patur from Dhamma Torah, but women can learn Torah if they want. That's what we would think if we only had our Gemara. However, we don't only have our Gemara. There's a Mishnah in Sota, and I think we have some of these in front of us. I made these big Makoro packets. The Mishnah in Sota brings down a Machloket Tanoim. The Mishnah in Sota tells us, in page A, in Yesh Lo Zchus HaSotolo, this is talking about a Sota. If a woman really committed adultery and she drank the waters, then she's supposed to die. But if she has a Zchus, then it gets delayed. She gets a reprieve temporarily. Yesh Chos Tol Shana Achas, Yesh Chos Tol Beis Shana, Yesh Chos Tol Gimel Shana, 1, 2, 3 years. Mikanam Ben Azai, Chayev Adon Lamed Bito Torah, and Tish Da Tei Da Shiz Chos Tol Allah. Ben Azai said from this that everyone has to teach their daughter Torah. Why? So she'll know the rule that a Zechus can delay your death from drinking the Me'amarim, the Me'sota a little. Because what's going to happen? Like, your daughter, like, I don't know, like her friend will commit adultery, and she'll know it's true. Then the friend drinks and doesn't die. So what's she going to say? We can get away with adultery. So no, you should teach her Torah. That way she'll know where we get from the pasuk that sometimes it's delayed. Right? If she learns Torah, she'll know that it can sometimes be delayed. So even if her friend doesn't die, she'll say, oh, it was probably delayed because of his chus, because I know that halacha. And she'll still know that her friend's going to get it in the end, and she'll still be aware that there's really a Hashem out there, and he punishes people who commit adultery. So in order to increase her yiras, so she won't think crime pays, teach her Torah, so she'll know that it's just a delay sometimes of the punishment, but Hashem really gets people who commit adultery. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kalamalami Bita Torah, Malamda Tiflus. Anyone who teaches his daughter Torah is teaching her Tiflus. Not exactly sure what Tiflus means. Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote to Isha, but Kav and Tiflus mean test Kav and priest. Rabbi Yeshua says, a woman would rather have one Kav of food, you know, 1 gallon of food, and Tiflus than 10 gallon of food without Tiflus, with precious. With separating herself from Olam Hazeh. Meaning, Tiflus is very important to women. So, it's a Machlokas, but Ben Azai says you have to teach your daughter Torah. Again, we know the Limatim Osamas B'neichem V'lo B'noseichem. He doesn't mean it's a Chiv D'oraisa to teach your daughter's Torah. He just means B'drabana, it's an Eitza Tova. It's a good idea to teach your daughter's Torah. That way, she'll understand the details of the rules of Sota, and she won't mistakenly think that crime pays. And Rabbi Elazar says, Adrav, if you teach daughter Torah, it's like teaching her Tiflus. Now again, if you only had the Mishnah, you might say, why is teaching your daughter Torah like teaching her Tiflus? Because if the main thing you want to teach your daughter is that you can drink the waters of Sota and still be delayed for a while to give her your estate, maybe Rabbi Elazar thinks the opposite. Like, no, I'll just give her Tiflus and say, let me fit adultery and I'll still have another 3 years. So if you only had the Mishnah, you would say maybe they're really only arguing a local machlokes about whether it gives you more yiras chet to know the law of Zechus Tola or less yiras chet. But the Gemara clearly didn't understand it this way. The Gemara says this is a general kolatar kula machlokes, team ben Azai and Rabbi Elazar, whether it's an itza tova to teach your daughter Torah or whether it's usher to teach your daughter Torah. Amar ben Azai in the Gemara, which is the next marker on the sheet here, Rabbi Elazar Omer kolam lamed bito Torah malam da tiflos. Anyone who teaches the daughter Torah is teaching her Tiflus. Tiflus akadaita, can it really be that teaching Torah is teaching Tiflus? What does Tiflus mean according to Rashi? Znus, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. If you teach your daughter Torah, you're teaching her Znus, you're teaching her Arias maybe, right? And that's why, because a woman would rather have Znus and less food than more food, right? Meaning a woman would rather, let's say, it doesn't have to be Znus. Let's say she had a choice. Her husband could stay home and make a little money and sleep with her every night, or her husband could go on business trips and make a lot of money, but she wouldn't get a lot of marital relations. So a woman would rather have less money and be able to, not lav dafka znos, but be able to engage in tashrus hamitzah with her husband, then it's better than having a lot of money and having to have precious and having to, and having to forego. Okay, that's what he says, that's the attitude of women. For women, that's important to them. So therefore, what's the Gemara saying? That, Rabbi Elazar is saying, if you teach your daughter Torah, it's just teaching her znos. Tiflus akadait. The Gemara says, how could it be that you're teaching your daughter znos? That's ridiculous. Torah is not znos. Torah is the opposite of znos. Ela ima ki ilu limda tiflus. No, if you teach your daughter Torah, it says, if you taught her znos. How so? Amar Yerbo, my Tamar de Rabbi Elazar. What's the reason for Rabbi Elazar? Dichsev ani chachma shechanti arma. It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei that Torah is connected to arma. Kevin shenichsa chachma. Other ones chachma, meaning Torah goes into someone. Nichsa uimo imrumis. They also get cleverness. Once you get chachma, you also get cleverness. So what's pshat? So what's the problem with teaching your daughter Torah then? What's the problem with cleverness? What does that have to do with tiflus? She'll get so clever, she'll know how to get away with znus, right? If the wife, she never learned anything, she wouldn't know how to get away with znus. She'd be afraid of getting caught. But if you teach her Torah, then she'll know all the tricks and all the loopholes, right? She learns enough masechtas, and you learn how to get away with anything, right? You learn, maybe halachic loopholes of how to, like, make sure all the edim are puzzled or something, I don't know. You learn how to get away with things. And it just makes you clever. When you're clever, you can figure out how to trick people, right? If you learn Gemara, you get very tricky, because you have to have all these tricky tightness. So she gets very tricky, and then she can get away with this stuff.
Can there relate to anyone?
So why only women? So that's what Rabbi Yeshua seems to be saying. Because men would rather have money than znus. Women would rather have znus than money. So just like men would rather have money than znus, what does that mean? So likewise, I guess the men would rather have, you know, reward in olam haba than znus. Because the men are, you know, would rather like build up a lot of riches than have a relationship now. Women would rather have a relationship now than build up a lot of riches. So I guess the men will, either they'll be too busy in business to worry about znus, or maybe they'll want to build up some riches in olam haba as well. So we're not worried about it. For the women, we're worried about it. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. That's what Rashi comments. She also learns how to hide her znus because of this ermumus, this cleverness of Torah, and she learns how to get away with it. So that's why it's usher for women to learn Torah. Now this seems to be a machlokas. What does the Rambam say? The famous text on this is the Rambam. That's why I put the Rambam in the Makoros twice. It was so important it had to go on the main page, which told us what the Makoros were, and it also went on the page that Xeroxed all the Makoros. The Rambam says, Isha shalom da Torah yesh lo schar. We have to be yadayik in this Rambam. Aval eino kischar ha'ish. A woman who learns Torah has schar, but not the same as schar of a man. We discussed in the Shabbos because she wasn't commanded to learn Torah. Anyone does something they're not obligated to doesn't get schar like someone who's mitzuvah. Also, they get less schar. The appreciation of schar, but even though they're schar, the chachamim commanded us, like midrabanan, even though midrash says they're schar, midrabanan, the chachamim commanded us, shelo yilamid adam's bito Torah. You shouldn't teach your daughter Torah. Why? Because most women, their mind is not oriented towards learning. But they will take these divrei Torah and turn them into words of emptiness, words of silliness, in accordance with the paucity of their mental capacities. Right? So, they're not, you probably met people like this. Some people just, they can't hold in a Gemara. Whatever you tell them in the Gemara, they're going to sort of turn it into something that's not really what the Gemara means, that clearly shows a lack of Havana. So the Rambam says most women are like that. It's just not, they're not going to understand it properly. If you ever met someone who just doesn't understand things, did they ever go and you say, look, I'm not good at understanding things? No. They think they understand it perfectly. They just understand it all backwards and twisted. So that's what we're afraid will happen. It's pretty bad if people understand the Torah. You know, if someone understands math backwards and twisted and thinks that, I don't know, the square root of 9 is 4, okay. Won't be the end of the world. It'll be a little silly. Won't be the end of the world. But if someone thinks the Torah is all backwards and emptiness, then they're going to get into big trouble. Amru Chacham kamulamis be the Torah ki limda tiflus. The Chacham therefore said, anyone teaches their daughter Torah as if they taught her tiflus. Bamed varmu mitorah shabal peh. When did this apply in Torah shabal peh? Val Torah shabachsav lo ilamidu sol chachila v'yim limda enu kamulamda tiflus. But Torah shabachsav lo chachila, don't teach your daughter. But if you did, it's not really tiflus. Now, let's take this step by step. First of all, the Rambam has a machlokas with Rashi. Rashi says, what's the problem learning Torah? There's two opinions. What's the problem that we realize are asked women learning Torah? Well, even before that, what's the most important thing the Rambam tells us here that we wouldn't have known from the Gemara? No, even more important than that. From the Gemara, we don't know how to paskin, right? Does it say whether we should paskin like Rabbi Eliezer or Ben Azai? How would you have paskin if you had to choose? Ben Azai, Rabbi Eliezer. Anyone know a rule for this? Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihi. Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. Machlok is whether that means he's from Beit Shammai or he's in Cheirim. But we normally paskin against him. So the Chidah asks this question, but why in this case do we paskin like him? There's a whole bunch of explanations. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. That's the first important thing. For the Gemara, we don't know who's right. Maybe Ben Azai's right, and there is no Isser. So the Rambam paskins there is an Isser. That's the most important thing the Rambam tells us. Until the Rambam, I don't know if anyone paskin this. The Rambam might have been the first person. I haven't checked all the Gaonim. The Rambam passes Usher. Second thing is the Rambam tells what's the reason. He doesn't seem to say that the reason is because she's going to learn to be clever and get away with Znus. He says pretty explicitly the reason is because she's going to misunderstand the Torah and turn it into silliness because she just doesn't have the capacity to understand it. Now, we have to understand for the Rambam, who's a smoother pshat in the Gemara, Rashi or the Rambam? Rashi. Why didn't the Rambam say like Rashi? Why do you think the Rambam didn't say like Rashi? What? Okay, could be. Although, if you know anything about the philosophy of the Rambam, that's probably not true. But I'm not sure. No one actually discussed this. But Lechora, I think, because Rashi is, it's a little bit of a stretch. Is it really true that anytime someone gets cleverness, they're like, Torah is automatically going to teach her like how to get away with Znus? That seems like very far away. Start with Torah and ends up being clever and getting away with Znus. Rashi seems to be a big stretch. The Rambam says, I want to see something much more pasha. Not that Torah is going to lead to something totally unrelated and we're going to make all these assumptions. It's very pasha. If you don't understand Torah properly, you're in trouble. So I think the Rambam was just bothered. He just didn't really think that Torah, just because it gives you a little cleverness, is going to lead to more people doing adultery. But it's very mistaber. It makes a lot of sense that if Torah is misunderstood, it's going to lead to a lot of problems. I mean, I don't know, I've lived a little longer than you guys have, but I'm sure even in your days you've had experiences where people totally misunderstand the Torah and it leads to problems. And it happens all the time, Ma'is B'chol Yom. So, I don't know if it's Ma'is B'chol Yom that smart people commit adultery more than, you know, educated people commit adultery more than uneducated people. But it's Ma'is B'chol Yom. If people don't understand the Torah properly, then they're going to end up doing terrible things. They're going to end up making big mistakes. So I think the Rambam just thought, like, it's a little too arbitrary. It's a little too random to say he's just going to commit adultery. But it makes a lot of sense to say she won't understand the Torah properly. He just has to fit this into the Gemara. What does tiflis mean then, according to the Rambam? How does the Rambam have to translate tiflis? Does tiflis mean, like Rashi says? Rashi actually here is not the parish on tiflis, but tiflis means znus. Does tiflis mean znus for the Rambam? What does tiflis mean? So what is the Meiri saying, Tosfos Yontif? What is the root word of tiflis for the Rambam? Tafel. Not tafel like ikra and tafel. Tafel with a tuf. What does tafel with a tuf mean? What? Right. Tafel actually means unsalted. It's the halachic phrase. The opposite of salted is tafel. Unsalted means like unspiced, like bland, like unperfected, unfinished. Right? If I serve you tafel food, that means I didn't spice it up. I just served you in an unfinished state, in the wrong form. So what is tafel? Tiflis means something without salt, without ta'am, without taste. Meaning she'll understand the Torah, but she won't really get the ta'am behind it. She won't really chop it. She'll have a vague understanding, but she won't have a complete understanding. It'll be like if I serve you food, that's tafel. Like the food is there, but I missed the chop. It's not actually what it's supposed to be. It has the wrong taste. So she'll have the Torah, but with the wrong taste. So the Rambam has to say tiflis mi lashon tafel. That's what Tosfos Yontif says explicitly. The Meiri says, not mi lashon tiflis, meaning pritzos, meaning znus. That's the first machlokis. How about the other part of the Gemara, where it says when Torah comes in, irmumis comes in. Who does that work better for? Rashi or the Rambam? Rashi, you get cleverness, you learn how to get away with crime. So how does the Rambam interpret that line? How does the Rambam interpret this line in the Gemara? If he says it just means they won't understand it properly because they don't have enough of a hasaga, then why does that mean they will get cleverness? The Gemara says you do get cleverness if you learn Torah. The Rambam says they don't have cleverness. So how does the Rambam explain the Gemara? The Lechem Mishnah, I think it's a little dachuk. I don't know about you. The Lechem Mishnah says, he understood in the Gemara when the Gemara had the lashon of ani chachma shachanti Shachanti arma, that ani, only I, the man, when I have chachma, get cleverness. But a woman with chachma doesn't get cleverness. He understood like ani meant men and not women. Which, it's very hard to figure out where they got that in the pasuk, no? It's a little tricky. So I think, lachemish, but maybe we can do a little better. What does the Meiri say? How does the Meiri say the Rambam would read the Gemara? When she gets chachma, she gets a little cleverness. Enough cleverness to think that she understands it properly. But she still doesn't. If she got no cleverness, she would just say, I don't understand it, it's too hard for me. But when you get chokhmah, you get it when you learn Torah, you get a little cleverness. So when you learn Torah, you get enough cleverness to think that you hacked it and to be sure that you're right. But you still don't really hack it. So the Rambam says, I think that's the right shot in the world for the Rambam. Once you get a chokhmah, you get enough cleverness to think that you understood it properly. Right? Sometimes you need to be clever to like really be sure of your mistake. If you're not clever at all, then you just say, I don't understand, too hard for me. So you get clever enough to think she chopped it when she really didn't. And that's the mistake. If someone knows what they don't understand, then they're okay. The problem is always when people think they understand what they don't understand. So I think that's how the Rambam would explain the Gemara. So the Rambam could work in the Gemara. He just says, Tiflos, Miloshen, Tafel, unsalted, unfinished product. And the reason why your mumis is the problem is not because your mumis makes her do znus or get away with znus. Because her mumis makes her think she chops when she really doesn't chop. And the big danger is people thinking they chop when they really don't. How does the Rambam explain Tiflus for Rabbi Yeshua? So the Rambam is sort of ambiguous in his language in the Perush HaMishnah. Right? He says she would rather have a rush, a person who does empty things with a little money, than have a tzaddik with a lot of money. He doesn't necessarily say znus. He just says, in Yonei Hevel, empty, foolish things. This says a woman would, because she doesn't necessarily understand, she'd rather have foolishness, which he doesn't necessarily say znus, than have a lot of money. Even though he doesn't exactly define it. So there are those who want to tie into the Rama really means Rashi. That doesn't seem like too much of a stretch.
Are there any proofs that they should learn all the Torah and should be able to just say, okay, this thing comes to this thing, therefore I'm going to not do it or something? There are proofs?
Proofs?
I mean, are they, or
we're talking about psychology. Either way, either shot of talking about psychology. There's no proofs in psychology. It's theories. So it could be the backing was that was their experience. They looked around and that's what they saw. Okay, that is a very interesting question. That is a very interesting question. And I'll tell you what my Rebbe said about this, Rav Rosenzweig. And then I'll tell you some other things. But he said there are two ways to understand what the Rambam means here. Forget about Rashi for a moment. Why do I say forget about Rashi for a moment? Because who do we hold like? Who do we paskin like? The Rambam, right? People don't quote Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. And all the later poskim, you look at any of the Svarim and Halacha, they all quote the Lashon of the Rambam. It seems to you've accepted the Rambam more than Rashi. Why? Because it may be that Rashi was being a little too pessimistic about human nature. You know, it's going a little far to say that once someone has any cleverness, they'll immediately run out and commit adultery and say, now I can get away with it. You know, but people have said the Rambam already is easier to swallow. If someone misunderstands the Torah, they'll be in trouble. So what does it mean, the Rambam's Lashon, that Rov Nashim Ein Daita Mechuvanos Lehislamed, most women do not have in their minds are not Mechuvanos. Their minds are not oriented to learn, their minds are not prepared to learn, and they'll mess up what they learn. So he said you can understand this in two ways. You could say it's because there are innate biological differences between men and women. Right, Gemara is, especially if we talk about Gemara, right, because the Rambam says only Gemara is the Tiflus. Right? Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is very difficult. It requires a certain logical way of thinking, which is not necessarily a common sense way of thinking, which is not necessarily an everyday life kind of thinking. You've probably noticed by now that Gemara, you don't analyze the same way, or you analyze it, unlike the way you lead your normal life, when you just meet people, etc. You don't start analyzing everything, making kakiras and bringing Ryans, you know, you can get out. No, it's a special way of thinking. Like maybe it's like logic or like science, I don't know. So as we know, the big machlokas nowadays. Right? Why do girls do worse in math and science than boys? It's a fact. Girls score worse in the United States of America on math and science tests than boys. They don't score worse in English. They score worse in math and science than boys. So this is a big machlokas. So some people say this is called political incorrectness. It's because girls have different brains than boys. Biologically, you want to say, because this is how Hashem created them, because he knew that men had one role in society and women had a different role, which is family-oriented. Or you want to say, I don't know, some will say evolutionary biology. This is a, yeah, it's a, what do they call it? It's selected for more survival mechanisms. Whatever you want to say. Everyone has their own theory of saying it, right? So let's say one way of saying it is Hashem created women's brains different than men's brains. Women's brains are better at emotion and relationships, and that's why the woman is the Akaras HaBayis, and she raises the kids. She has one role. Men's brains are better at logical analysis, at math and science, which is necessary to advance technology, but not necessarily necessary to raise kids. So Hashem gave everyone brains that are better for different things. So innately, women have different brains than men. Women are better at some things, right? The Gemara says, women have Bina Yisera. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, Nashim Dait and Kalos. Right? Their Das is light. What does that mean? In some ways, they have Bina Yisera, understand some things. But in other things, especially Pikabala, Bina means relationships. But in other things, they don't follow as well. So what is the Rambam saying? Rove women. Right? You can't say every woman, right? There's always going to be one woman who's like Einstein. Okay, but rove women, right? The Rambam said the Mor Nebuchim, right? The first Rambam, Mor Nebuchim, all the laws of the Torah only given for the rove. No halach in the Torah is actually, like, makes the most sense for every single person. No, there's always going to be some guy from one halach in the Torah actually, like, shouldn't really apply to him. But we have to make a general rule for the rove, because if you want to have a Torah society, you have to make a general rule. So Hashem gave the rules that are good for the rove. So rove women, their minds are just not oriented towards reaching the right conclusions in Gemara. They don't have those math and science capabilities, and therefore we're afraid of what might happen. That's why we go right to their pots from Talmud Torah. Chazal said, be on the safe side and avoid Talmud Torah, because their brains are not going to have the right capacity for it. It could be, right? The other part, Rav Rosenzweig didn't like that at all. He didn't like to say that. Rav Rosenzweig said, not that it was just societal, but it has to do with the structure of the Torah society. It says, men are chayiv in Talmud Torah, v'higisa bo yomam v'layla. Again, not all of us necessarily live up to this. That doesn't mean we shouldn't. Right? You're supposed to be learning v'hasmada. Women are not chayiv to be learning with hasmada. As a matter of fact, women have other family responsibilities, which often prevent them from learning v'hasmada, especially in the old days when they got married when they were 12. Right? They had a lot of family responsibilities, which prevented them from learning the Hasmada. Men also had more responsibilities then. It's harder to make a living, but found more time to learn the Hasmada. And Rosenzweig said, it's very pashut. He said, look, if the more educated you are, the more your mind is trained to think properly. The less educated you are, the more your mind is likely to make mistakes and misunderstand things. Because you can't just give someone like half an education, right? A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. So maybe that's what the Rambam meant. Since men have to learn behasmada and have to put in many, many hours and long years in yeshiva, their brains have been trained to understand a good svara and a bad svara, and they won't make so many mistakes. But since women do not have to learn with such hasmada and are usually, according to the way the Torah envisioned it, according to the plan of most people's lives, you know, don't have the time to learn with such hasmada, they'll only be able to learn a little. So if you learn a little, then your mind doesn't get developed, because learning is not just about learning material, it's about developing your mind and your thinking skills. So if they only learn a little, then their thinking skills won't be developed and they'll misunderstand what they learned. So Rosenzweig said, the Rambam didn't necessarily mean women have different brains biologically than men. He just meant that in the Torah society, men who are chayiv in Talmud Torah learn b'hasmada and train their minds. Women who are not chayiv in Talmud Torah, because they have other responsibilities, do not have the opportunity to train their minds, we know. Until very recently, in all societies, women never got education. So if you can imagine, if you take someone without education and try to teach them, it's just not going to work. They're going to misunderstand everything. So it takes many, many years to build up the ability to properly understand. I have the experience all the time. You ever, probably not, you ever like have a debate with a like reform rabbi over something? I used to have debates with like reform and conservative rabbis over things. And like I talked to them like about Gemaras, and they like quote me Gemaras on their favor, et cetera, et cetera. Like why the Gemara really thinks you're allowed to drive on Shabbos, et cetera. And at a certain point I realized that I couldn't disprove them. If you gave me an Orthodox rabbi who had some crazy, ridiculous sheet that you could drive on Shabbos, I could disprove it. Because he like understands how Gemara works and what's like the right way to interpret the Gemara and what's the wrong way to interpret the Gemara. But if you give me a Reform rabbi who all he knows is like one line in English in the Sensino, I'm not here to say anything bad personally about Reform rabbis on the tape here. You know, some of them are very nice people. This is the education they were given. I can't prove to him that he has the wrong shot in the Gemara. Because you can't know that you have the wrong shot in the Gemara unless you've learned enough Gemara to know what shot in the Gemara is supposed to be like. If all you've seen is a few lines of Gemara, and you never saw a post-game, and you never saw any halakhic literature, and you only a little here, a little there, then you don't understand what's like a makes sense of shot, what doesn't make sense of shot. It's like me trying to, you know, if I was trying to coach a basketball game, you know, I'd say, I don't know, pass to him, he's open. And like, it seems like good smart to me. You're going to start explaining to me why that's actually a terrible svara. I'm not even going to understand, because you need a certain pekiyas, just chop, what's a good svara? So that's why I stopped debating with the Reform rabbis. Because I can't convince them what's a good svara or not. Nowadays, I stick to arguing with Orthodox people. Then at least I can convince them why I think I'm right. But just sometimes you can't explain something to someone if they don't know the whole, if they haven't seen pekiyas. So that's what Rosenzweig said, that women, not necessarily inherently, but because of the way society is structured, al pi rov, most of the time in society, women are not going to be able to educate themselves to the point where they will be able to understand that. Now, what if a woman does have a lot of education? Then she can understand. Is that a kasha on the Rambam? No, what does the Rambam say? Rov nashim, right? In a konami. If a woman really does learn about someone, that's a different story. But rov nashim, that's unrealistic. I have a daughter. It's unrealistic to think, certainly, I mean, in the old days, that she's going to be able to get a proper enough Gemara education to really appreciate and understand what she learns. That's just silly. So I shouldn't start teaching her, and then she'll only be left with a little knowledge, which will be a dangerous thing. It's better not to start in the first place. That's Rav Rosenzweig shot in the Rambam. So there are two ways of understanding. The Rambam, you could probably say the same thing for Rashi, whether it's inherent biological, or whether it's not societally based, but based on the Torah structure of the family based, and the Torah's idea of what roles different people have to play, right? It's clear in the Torah. Everyone can't stay home and take care of the kids, because then there'd be no Torah. Everyone can't sit and learn kolel, because then there'd be no families. So Torah gave different roles, which may also be politically incorrect, but I think it sort of makes common sense to all of us. And therefore, it's just not realistic to think the woman will be able to achieve. Now, of course, from this, I'm not getting into this as a side point, but you could perhaps derive from this some far-reaching conclusions. Like maybe, like even men who aren't really going to take learning seriously, you shouldn't teach them Torah Shabbat Peh. Like, I don't know, maybe that's true. Now, it could be that we'll hope that they'll all become shtark and take learning seriously, right? So maybe I'll teach all the guys in Bottom Shir MTA Gemara, because I'll hope they'll go to Israel and turn shtark and learn for a long time, and they'll be able to build on what they've learned so far. But if I knew Benevius that wouldn't happen, then maybe I shouldn't teach them tomorrow, because they're going to misunderstand and do the same thing the Rambam says. Could be. Okay. But I'd like to hope people will become shtark in Israel. You mean for the men? Right, it may be that once the men have a chiyuv, so that's a different story. Once they have a chiyuv, I have to assume that we're going to try as hard as we can to do the chiyuv. That's true. Okay. That's one aspect of the Rambam. Now, before we go on to the Rambam made a few more chidushim also. What other chidushim did the Rambam make? Someone tell me all the chidushim in the Rambam. A, how he paskins. B, he gives a different reason than Rashi, a different explanation than Rashi. What other chidushim does he say? That if a woman learns, she still gets schar. Isha shalom de Torah, yesh lo schar. So, but how can she get schar if it's tiflis? Isn't that a little strange? If she learns, she gets schar. But if it's ke'ilum olam de tiflis, do you really get schar for like twisting the Gemara and misinterpreting it? It's a little hard for you. If I sat here and I started reading Gemara and I understood it exactly the opposite of what it meant, came to all the wrong halakhic conclusions, do you think I deserve schar? So what's the? How can you find me shot on the Rambam here? How can she get schar if it's like tiflis? What? Yeah, but still, a fun tzara agra, you understand, but you still have to accomplish something, I think. You know, and not only that, the Rambam says, why does she get less schar than a man? She's not mitzvah, but she doesn't say she gets less schar than a man because she gets it all wrong. Right? If she got it all wrong, wouldn't you think that's why she gets less schar? The Rambam says, like, she gets the same schar as a man, except she's not mitzvah. So she gets the same schar as a man, except a little less for not being mitzvah. Right? Then it sounds like she is understanding Gemara. So what's pshat? Okay, I think you're starting here. And again, I'm not coming with any agenda. We're just trying to understand what the Rambam says kipshuto. So what you're saying is ha'isha shalomda versus ha'av shalololami. When the man teaches her, it's tiflis. But when she learns, it's schar. But I still mean manifsha. If she understands it, then even if her father teaches her, it should be schar. If she misunderstands it, even when she learns, it should be tiflis. I mean manifsha, if she understands it, then it's good for her father. If she doesn't, it's bad for her father. I understand, but you think it, but if she does it wrong, you think she deserves schar? Unless what you're saying is she'll get some of it right and some of it wrong. Midrabanan, we shouldn't teach her because there's some parts she'll get wrong. Midaraisa, she'll get schar because she'll get some of it right. That could be. So I think what Noah's trying to say is, look, it depends. A woman who'll get it right gets schar. A woman who'll get it wrong, it's tiflis. So, let me ask you this question. So is a woman allowed to learn, according to the Rambam? Is a woman allowed to learn? What do you think is pshat in the Rambam? What? A woman's not allowed to learn. If she learned and got it right, she gets schar. But al pi rov, she's not allowed to learn, because you have to follow rov according to the Torah, and al pi rov, she'll mess it up. That's one pshat in the Rambam. Okay, Noach says, what the Rambam's saying is, if she's from the miyot, she gets schar. If she's from the rov, it's tiflis. Anyone have a different shot on the Rambam? Be medayik in the lashon. We like to do that as briskers.
He says shalom is Torah, is the schar. It's the only other condition that she actually learns Torah. So it's true. When she's so on the person for all the Torah that she actually learns, that she gets schar.
Okay, so you're saying something similar to Noah. If she's from the miyot, or not, the time she succeeds, she gets schar.
Yeah.
But in general, she shouldn't do it because the times she's going to fail are going to be a big problem.
Perhaps it's not what she should do. The one thing is when you see it goes really back to Gemara is what society should do and what she herself should do.
Okay, what chiluk are you making? Maybe.
From the societal perspective, if you're setting up the yeshiva, they shouldn't institute different things as part of their chinuch. For a girl that has an initiative to do, then she should try out learning Torah.
Why?
Because if she thinks that she can succeed at it, for the Torah that she learned, she will be Makabas Lach.
But why are we worried about Tiflis?
That's for the society, not the teacher, because you're not there. You're not supposed to be teaching other people.
Meaning, I shouldn't get someone into the trouble of tiflis, but if they want to take their chances, then that's their prerogative. Okay, you could say that.
Maybe considering that she's starting to work on her own, that means that she's learning Mishma, and therefore she can get scarred. The only reason she learns and gets on the tiflis is when she's learning Shalom Mishma.
Okay, so Jerry's saying maybe there's something Gloy Milsa here. If she's learning on her own, what does that prove? So what's the shot of the Prisha? The Prisha is an interesting chiddush. Prisha is a parish on the Torah. What's the Torah? What? Right, the Torah was this. You all heard of the Torah, because it's the Bala Torah. Why is the Bala Torah called the Bala Torah? Because he wrote the Torah. What is the Torah? It's the Rosh's son. He decided to write up all the halachah lemaisas and put them in four books called Orach Chaim, Yoredeia, Kol Shemishpat, and Eved Ezer. Sound familiar? Yes, because the Shulchan Aruch, what Rabbi Yosef Cairo did is, this is very important to say, for the Torah is probably most important to what Rabbi Yosef Cairo did 200 years later. He wrote a parish on it called Beis Yosef. What he did was, he says, now this guy organized all the halachas in these four books that are relevant to us. Let me go through each halacha, quote you the Gemara and all the Rishonim, and analyze the whole sugya and tell you what the halacha is. And that's what he does in the parish Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is an important sefer because it summarizes all the Gemara and Rishonim. And then Rabbi Yosef Cairo said, well, now that I actually got the bottom line halacha right, because I wrote the Beis Yosef, I might as well write it up in a summary form so people will be able to understand just the main points of the Beis Yosef. And he called that the Shulchan Aruch, and the rest is history. So, the Prisha is a comment on the Torah by Rav Yaakov Falk Katz, who was the first Mefarish on the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a parish only in Chol Shem Mishpat called the Sma. So, he writes that what's pshat in the Rambam? We'll have to see if this is right or not. He writes pshat in the Rambam is ha'isha shalomda on her own. Anyone who learns on her own is igloy milsa, that she's from the miyot of women. She's from the miyot of women who do have the das lomod. After all, the Rambam said mefurish. The Rambam says rov don't. The what's mefurish? That miyot do. So anyone who learns on her own shows sees from the, I don't know what miyot is. Let's call it 10% randomly. She's from the 10, 20, whatever percent who are capable of success. So if she learns on her own and she shows that she's serious about it, she knows what she's doing and she takes initiative and she's motivated, then she's not going to have a problem with tiflis. But if you teach your daughter Torah when she's little, then you don't know what she's going to be. So you have to go by the rule of rove and you assume she's going to mess it up and it's tiflis. That's what he wants to be pshat on the Rambam. It's very meduyak, because the Rambam says ha'isha shalomda yesh l'schar, but shlo yilamid adam es bito Torah. You shouldn't teach your daughter, but if the woman learns, it's okay. It's not that there's something magical to father and daughter, that if you just teach her automatically when she's little, then we don't know what she's going to turn out. But if she takes the initiative and she's motivated, then that's igloy milsa that she is from the miyot. What? At 12:30. That is very soon. Okay, so we have 3 more minutes. So that might be pshat in the Rambam. Well, maybe the schar is only on Torah Shebichtav, but then you think he should have written Isha Shalom the Torah Shebichtav Yishla Schar. As he does say Isha Shalom the Torah Yishla Schar. So now that's the third chiddush of the Rambam, is that there seems to be some sort of difference. Isha Shalom da and Malamed Adam is Bito. What's the last chiddush the Rambam tells us that we had no hint of in the Gemara? There's a difference in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichtav is Asur Lechatchila. But b'diyevet, it's not tiflis. So as a matter of fact, some achronim, right? Torah Shebichtav is only usher, it's a gzeira atu Torah Shebalpeh. The Rambam doesn't tell us whether he uses that or not, but that's what the Yosef Ometz says Torah Shebichtav is only gzeira atu Torah Shebalpeh. Now, we have to figure out, where did the Rambam get these ideas from? What's the mucker of the Rambam? What's the mucker of the Rambam that's a difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh? Anyone? What's the Rambam's mucker? How does he know that Torah Shebalpeh is what was meant by tiflis? But Torah Shebichtav is not tiflus, but it's still also l'chachila. He has to know a lot of things. Torah Shebichtav is not tiflus, but it is also l'chachila. It's not mutter, it's not tiflus, it's in between. How did the Rambam know that? What does the Gemara in Nedarim say? If you're mudra hanor from someone, you're not allowed to benefit them, but you're still allowed to. Even if I make a neder not to give you hanor, I can still teach your sons and daughters Torah. Why? Isn't that giving you hanor? No, it's giving your sons and daughters, what may or may not even be hana, but it's certainly not giving you hana. If I teach your son or daughter Torah, it doesn't give you hana. Now, it does get you out of having to pay tuition, but that's not hana. That's just indirect. That's just grumma. If I teach your son Torah, you don't pay tuition for someone else teaching Torah. So if I can teach your sons or daughters, what does the Mishnah say? I can teach your sons or daughters, Mishnah Nedarim? Mikra, right? The Mishnah Nedarim, Daf Lamed Hamad Bey, says, umalamdo midrash lochs lagolim. Abomalamdo is bona vies benosa mikra. I can teach his sons and daughters mikra. So that seems to be mafurish, that you're allowed to teach daughters mikra. Now, is this the mukra of the Rambam? Someone tell me 2 reasons why this. The Gra says it is, and I don't normally like to take on the Gra. Someone tell me 2 reasons why it's not so pasha that this is the mukra of the Rambam. A, then it should be lachachila, right? Abomalamdo is bona vies benosa mikra. And B, what's Tosas Giras in the Mishnah? Tosas Nedarim. You don't have to read the Tosas, just the Dibur HaMaskil. Avol Melamed, Bonav Mikra. He didn't have the Giras of Benosav. Now, the only problem, I should have put this on the sheet, I apologize. The Rambam Perish Mishnayis doesn't have the Giras of Benosav. The Rambam Hilchas Naziris Perish Bavol HaZayin doesn't have the Giras of Benosav. So if the Rambam doesn't have, A, he doesn't have the Giras of Benosav. B, if so, it should be Mutalach Achila. So it seems like it's a bit of a stretch to say this is the Mukra of the Rambam. Okay? Anyone have another idea what's the Mukra of the Rambam? What? Maybe Hakel. Right? That's the theory of the Bach and the Taz. Unfortunately, we have Shiria practice now. Unfortunately for us. It's very nice. It's a great thing to have Shiria. But I think we're gonna have to stop now. What we'll do is tomorrow. What's Friday time? 11 o'clock? Tomorrow, 11 to 12, we'll finish up this inyan. And then next week, we'll go weiter in the Gemara and learn about whether you guys should be married or not.
One problem I saw with the Rambam is, let's say, forget about Makar's ending. Let's say it's all the Rambam.